Turn in your Bibles today to Luke chapter 8 is where we're going to be. Just while you're turning there, I just want to, the Lord just laid this on my heart this morning as I was thinking about how to open this up this morning. But in John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said these words to his disciples. Of course, it's getting close to the end of his life. And he tells them, he said, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you." I want you guys to think this morning about the love that Jesus shows us. How does he show it to us? And what did the disciples really, how did they take that? And what did they see modeled in their walk with him? And how they saw him interact with people? And, you know, when I think of Jesus' love for me and all the failures, how many times I failed him, but yet he still loves me with unconditional love. He don't ever hold it against me. He don't care what I've done and where I've been. He cares about where I'm going and what I'm going to do. And we get to meet two people today. And you know, Pastor David has been talking about refocusing our lives. And last week he talked about how the answers might not come that we want to come and the different things. We might have to wait a little bit longer than we want to wait. And I'm going to look at a couple of people today that were in a hurry. One had been waiting for 12 years and one had only been alive for 12 years. But she was a very sick little girl. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 40, we're going to read there. But the reason I wanted to focus you on the love of God, I want you to see how Jesus demonstrated that love to people that he probably really never ever met. And we come across those people each and every day in our lives. People that we could show kindness to, but we're in a hurry. We've got things to do, places to be. We've got so much on our plate and we think we're too busy. But are we really too busy? Ministry is something that every one of us needs to be involved in. That God's called us all to go make disciples of all men, whoever they are. And I believe he provides us opportunities that we don't take sometimes. Let's read in Luke chapter 8, verse 40. It says, "When Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Just then, a man named Jairus came. He was a leader of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and pleaded with him to come to his house because he had only a daughter about 12 years old and she was dying. And while he was going, the crowds were nearly crushing him. A woman suffered from bleeding for 12 years who had spent all she had on doctors and yet she could not be healed by any. Approached from behind and touched the end of his robe, instantly her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the crowds are hemming you in and pressing against you.' 'Someone did touch me, Jesus,' said Jesus. 'I know the power has gone out of me.' When the woman saw that she was discovered, she came trembling and fell down before him in the presence of all the people. She declared the reason she had touched him and how she was instantly healed. 'Daughter,' he said to her, 'your faith has saved you. Go in peace.' While he was still speaking, someone came from the synagogue's leader's house and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore.' And when Jesus heard it, he answered, 'Don't be afraid, only believe, and she will be saved.' And after he came to the house, he let no one enter except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Everyone was crying and mourning for her, but he said, 'Stop crying, because she is not dead, but only asleep.' They laughed at him because they knew she was dead. So he took her by the hand and called out, 'Child, get up.' Her spirit returned and she got up at once. Then he gave orders that she be given something to eat. Her parents were astounded, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for the many blessings, Father, that you give us. I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that you do call each and every one of us to be individuals that are loved by you, but Father, also that we show people that they are loved by you as well. And Father, as you told your disciples to love as you have loved them, Father, help us to see your love for these people. And Father, that you was willing to take time for these people, Father God. And Father, that one had a name and one had no name. Father, even the one that doesn't have a name, maybe we don't even know who they are, Father, you still love them. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct us in this morning. And Father, that you would give each one of us something to take home and that we have learned. And Father, that we could apply to our lives. And Father, I pray that you would just use me as to preach your word. Father, that you would speak through me today. And Father, I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this was a very popular time for Jesus in his ministry. And he was had done several healings. He had healed the lame man's hand or a withered hand. He had done all kinds of different things. And word was getting around about him. And, you know, Jairus was a leader of the synagogue. But also, I want you to realize that the leaders were already against Jesus. The religious leaders of that time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were all already plotting how they was going to get rid of Jesus. But Jairus had a problem. He was at the end of his rope with his daughter, and he didn't know what else to do. And so he goes down to the sea to meet Jesus because he heard he was coming. And there were crowds and crowds of people there. You know, and as I thought about this week, three or four years ago, Carol and I went to Silver Dollar City before Christmas. I mean, right before Christmas. And we went with a group of people. And I thought, how in the world do you even get through a crowd? I mean, we stayed there about an hour, and I told Carol, I said, this is ridiculous. We've got to go. I can't. There are just too many people here. You couldn't, if everybody decided to go the same way all at one time, I don't know who would have got trampled, but I'm sure somebody would have. And the whole place was just full of people. And I can imagine the crowds crowding around Jesus in that way. And, you know, I haven't been in very many big cities, but I'll tell you that, you know, when you're trying to walk in a crowd of people, it's just crazy to have to try to keep up the pace. But as Jairus falls down and begs Jesus to come with him because his daughter is on her deathbed. Think about your sons and your daughters, the people that mean so much to you. Maybe you're here and you ain't had kids yet. Think about how you would react to the ones that you love the most, of being so close to death, and yet they had so much more life to live. Guys, I'm telling you, Jairus was he just didn't know what else to do. And yet, his position, he was a very rich man. And his position and the people that he answered to was not going to look favorably upon the fact that he was going to meet with Jesus and beg Jesus to come. But he didn't care about the people. He didn't care. All he cared about was his daughter. And the Bible says that he fell down on his knees before Jesus. And a leader in that day would never, ever, they wouldn't do that. They would not submit themselves to that. They would not follow another man, especially somebody that wasn't a leader. And Jesus, they knew he was a teacher, but they didn't believe in him as Christ. They didn't believe in him as Messiah. But he knew the stories. He knew what Jesus could do, what he had heard, and he was going to go any road that he possibly could. And Jesus agreed to go with him, and the crowd was going to go with them to see this thing that Jesus was going to do for Jairus' daughter. But on his way, there was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She was very sick, and she had spent everything that she had, and she had a plan. She had a plan to reach out and touch his garment. You know, I think about her. We don't know her name. She's on the other end of the spectrum as far as she's very poor. Jairus is very rich. He's very important. He's very well known. And the only reason that she is known because she has to call out that she's unclean everywhere she goes. She can't go to worship. She can't go gather with people. Nobody can touch her because if they touch her, they become unclean. And yet she said there's one last hope because she too had heard the rumors of the things that Jesus had done. And actually, as we think about that, as I was reading this week, you know, there was in Malachi, there's a verse that said that when the Messiah comes, he would have healing in his wings. And that if she could only touch the hem of his garment. And as a kid growing up, and I hear these Bible stories, and I'm sure you have as well, I just imagine her positioning herself where she could just touch the hem of his garment. But no, you know what that word really means? The Greek word that is used there is that she planned to grab a hold of the garment and hold on to it for just a minute. She had a plan, guys. She was without hope. She had been to doctor after doctor. She had spent everything that she had trying to overcome this disease. And she didn't know what it was. But she knew that Jesus might be able to heal her. He was her only hope. I want you to think back. He stopped because somebody touched him. He completely paused and says, "Who touched me?" And nobody would answer. Not a soul spoke up in favor of that. And when nobody spoke up, we have good old Peter. He says, "Lord, how can you even tell that somebody touched you? There's people all around you. They're pressing against you." But yet Jesus knew that she had touched him. And he wasn't going to let it go. Can you imagine Jerry standing over the sideline? I can imagine him going ahead and making his way through the crowd and saying, "Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. My daughter's about ready to die. Come on, you've got to come now. You've got to come right now. Right now, Jesus." But he said, "Who touched me?" And this woman realized that she hadn't done it in secret. You know, as I read this and had studied it, one of the guys that I read so much says that she tried to steal a miracle from Christ. She tried to do it undercover. Listen to what Jesus says to her. He says, "Daughter." He had never met her before. He knew her. It's a word that you could almost translate like sweetheart. This woman who hasn't been touched, hasn't been spoken to kindly in 12 years because she was an unclean person. She couldn't go to worship. She couldn't be around her friends and her family. They couldn't love her or hold her because she would contaminate them where that she could not go to worship. You know, as you think about how she was just all alone, completely alone. Nobody around her, but yet she formulated this plan. She wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd that day. And he answered her. Can you imagine what she thought was going to come from Jesus' lips? "What are you doing in this crowd, woman?" But no, he answered her completely different. What about us? How do we answer somebody that interrupts our day? You know, I wanted to title this just a little bit different. I was going to title it Interruptions That could Become Ministry. But you know, in the whole scheme of things, each one of us is an individual seeking relationships. And Jesus desires for us to be individuals who will spend time with people because we represent Jesus Christ. We represent Him. And we're all got something wrong. Just like this woman who's without help, every one of us is a sinner. And every one of us is dead. And every one of us is unclean. Until Jesus comes back and we put our trust and faith and even just reach out and grab a hold of the end of His garment. Jairus was thinking, "What in the world are you doing?" This is the only time in the Bible that a woman is addressed this way. Sweetheart or daughter. a kind word, you would never address someone that you just met. You wouldn't do that. The girl nobody wanted, Jesus refers to her as precious sweetheart. The girl no one touched is now being embraced by the arms that created the stars and the planets and everything that we look at and have so much wonder about. The name nobody else knows, Jesus knows. Think about that for a minute. We still don't have her name, but Jesus knew her name. And yet he paused. He was on a very important mission. He was going to heal a little girl that had been sick for and was only 12 years old. Jairus and his wife had only had the joy of their life for 12 years. She was the only daughter that they had, the only child in that household. And yet Jesus paused. And guys, this preaches to me because a lot of the times I'll say, well, I ain't got time to do this, or I ain't got time to do that. I've got to study, or I've got to do this because this is important. But the Creator of the universe, the Son of the living God, pauses to talk to this lady that has no name. He knows her name. She's that important to him. You are just as important as she is. Every one of us is that important. He will pause and give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to accept his love, his mercy, and his grace. He desires that each person outside these walls accept him as their Lord and as their Savior. And yet, a lot of the times, he wants to use us to reach that person, but we're too busy. We don't pause, and we don't speak words of healing. We just move on. Honk our horns on the way around them. You're going too slow. Why didn't you move at that stoplight? Yeah, they're on their phone. Yeah, that annoys me so much. It's one of my pet peeves, and when they won't go, and I go around them on down the way and they've got their phone so they can see. They've got holding it up, texting. I'm glad they can do that because I can't. I would run over them if I'd done that. You know, that's one of the things that we have to realize, that God uses interruptions sometimes so that He can pour into people through us. And yet, we don't take the time. He told this daughter of his, he says, go, your faith has made you well. She wanted to steal a miracle, but Jesus called her out. And each one of us have to do that. When Jesus was interrupted by people, he took time for those people. I want you to realize that. No matter who they were, when Peter needed a little extra encouragement, when the guys tore the roof off of the house and let the friend down in, when the rich young ruler interrupted his teachings to ask him an important question. Guys, he didn't deviate. If you stopped me in my sermon today, I would lose all train of thought, but I would try to stop and ask you a question. Matter of fact, I thought about asking Micah Veens to interrupt us today. And I thought, no, I ought to give Micah Veens a little more notice than on Sunday morning. Maybe it wasn't even about that one thing, but let me tell you something. Jesus had time for individuals. Now, I don't think that we ought to be overloaded. I think we have to ask the Lord to help us. I believe that all things are possible through Him. Just like Jairus waiting in the wings. He's now put on the side. Standing over there waiting for Jesus to come with him. Come with him. And then this messenger shows up. He says, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter has died. Can you imagine the effect? I can just hear Jairus in his heart saying, if this woman would have just waited. She wasn't about to die. She had lived with this for 12 years. She would have lived another day or two or three. She could have come to Jesus any other time. But see, Jesus finds it that you are just that important. Right now. Right now. If you ask, He will listen. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness. And one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. See this woman that Jesus, as he told her, your faith has made you well? Because she spoke those words, because of what Jesus done, and she was willing to tell. She was willing to share. She recounted her steps, okay? She recounted all those things in her life. When she found that she was found out. In verse 47, it says, the woman saw that she was discovered. She came trembling and fell down before him in his presence of all the people. And she declared the reason she had touched him and how she was instantly healed. And you can read this story in Matthew, you can read it in Mark, and you can read it in Luke, and every one of them give you a little bit of information. And this woman had planned to do what she done. The thing that she didn't plan to do was to confess with her mouth. She was going to steal away secretly and go away and be healed and live the full life, if it worked. Now she didn't know where they would look. What's it take? The faith of a mustard seed. And, you know, she had heard rumors of what Jesus has done, and maybe she had heard about that in Malachi where there would be healing in his wings. I don't know that for sure. That's just a rumor of that day that was going around about Jesus, but she knew that he was her only hope. Guys, that's all of our only hope. We are this woman. We have a dreadful disease called sin. Every one of us have it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us need Jesus. And all of us still need Jesus, because after we have repented, after we have confessed to God and all that, we still got to have Him, because He's our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. He's the reason I'm righteous before God. He's the only reason I can stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. He's the only reason I will be there. I hope you're at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm getting that right? Believers is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and the unbelievers is going to be at the great white throne judgment. My question is, do you know which judgment you're going to be at? And is that important to you? See, this woman, he calls her daughter because now he is her Lord. He's her Savior. That's true of every one of us. If we've accepted Him, if we confessed Him with our mouth and believe in our heart God raised Him from the dead, we become sons and daughters of God. And because she had the faith, and He asked her what had happened. Who touched me with faith? As the story continues, He says, daughter, He said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And then the messenger comes. There isn't any hope left. In verse 50, it says, when Jesus heard it, he only answered him, don't be afraid. Only believe, and she will be saved. This is Jesus talking to Jairus. See, nobody's too far gone with Christ. Brother David talked about Lazarus raising from the dead last week, and we see it again here. Guys, every person that we mention in our prayer time and all those things, they've got this life to accept Christ. And you don't know when they're going to do it or how they're going to do it or how it comes about. And you may be an instrument that's used to help lead that person to Jesus. I don't know who's on your prayer list. I can only answer for who's on my prayer list. For the lost and the people that I know that need Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The people that you pray for, don't say it's useless. Because it's never useless with God. He can raise those people from that kind of life. Don't ever give up. Just wait like Jairus waited. I'm sure he was very impatient. I can imagine him pacing. I don't ever stand still while I'm up here. But I can imagine him doing circles, trying to get Jesus to come with him. I don't think he spoke a word. I think he respected Jesus as a teacher. And I think he was going to respect him as Lord and Savior. He says, don't be afraid. Only believe and she will be saved. I'll say it one more time. No circumstances are without hope with Jesus. No circumstances. Are we like the messenger and limit Jesus' power? Jesus said she was only asleep. Is that the way we think of death? You know, we've had so many funerals this summer. And every one of them, as Pastor David preached, he talked about us, that wouldn't be the last time that we would see them. But Jesus referred to it as sleep. They're just asleep, waiting to be awoke again on the other side of heaven. And they'll be just exactly the way you remembered them, only better. After he came to the house, he let no one enter with him except Peter, John, and James, the child's father and mother. Everyone else was put out. There could be only six people in that room. And I believe because those six people had a mustard seed of faith. Everybody else was making fun of Christ because he said that she was only asleep. They had already started mourning. They knew that she was dead. But with Christ, we're not without hope. With Christ, we're not without hope that we will see our loved ones again. Yeah, are we going to miss them here? Absolutely. But guys, I'm telling you, time isn't time like it. It can be a long time. You know, as I was thinking about my life, I'm 50 years old. Carol told me today that she started dating me 30 years ago. She's been reminding me about this anniversary all for the last 3 months. She's been telling me, our anniversary date's coming up. I remember the day we got married. That's the only day I remember. I need to write this down so some of you could help me remember that August 19th and 1989. I was going to say 90, but it couldn't have been 90. I took her on the first date that we ever went on. We never quit dating after that. We're still dating today. Okay? I still take her out. But guys, let me tell you something. God knows when each person will come to faith in Him. That's hard for us to comprehend, but He allows each person to make their own decision concerning Him. And every one of us have that opportunity. He said, you are the light of the world. I want to take you back to John 13, 34 and 35 real quick. He says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. By your love for one another. Our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and our love toward this world and how we treat people really does matter, because that's going to be our reputation. Okay? How you treat people in school, how you react to circumstances at your job, even though you've been wronged. I talked to this youth this morning about Joseph. Even though he had been wronged, there's never a record of Joseph talking bad about the situation he's in, blaming his brothers. He never did that. He just accepted what was there and tried to serve God where he was. Tried to keep it in the forefront. And I'm sure being a slave for Potiphar wasn't an easy job. And then he got to be the leader of the household. And he got to designate the jobs. And I'm sure that was a lot easier on him. And then he got through in jail because of false accusations. And then he was back down on the bottom again. But he worked his way up. Guys, I'm telling you, that's the way God works. He raises you up through it. But you have got to continue to trust Him. And if you gripe and complain and moan and groan and tell everybody how bad these people are, then, and I'm not saying that you can't vent to your loved ones, but what I'm saying is you've got to trust Jesus, that He's got you in this situation for a reason. You know, my wife She vents to me. That's okay. It stays right where it should stay. It stays in our house. But I'm telling you, we can be encouraged. I don't know who Joseph had, but I believe he just had God. I believe that's who he vented to the most. Jairus, I believe he said, okay, whatever you say, Lord, let's go. And after he put everybody out of the house and there's only six of them there, everyone was crying and mourning. Can you imagine the mom, how she felt? But he said, stop crying because she is not dead. She is asleep. All Jesus needs to do is speak. And that's exactly what he does. So he took her by the hand and called her out. Child, get up. And her spirit returned. And she got up at once. Then he gave orders that she be given something to eat. His parents were astounded. Her parents was astounded. But he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. And we know that he instructed them because of his popularity, because of how many people Jesus was having to deal with day after day. But he always took time. Guys, we've got to learn to take time for the interruptions of life. Because Jesus wants to have a relationship with every individual in this world. That was why he died on the cross. That's the reason he made the way. Yeah, it's narrow. There is no other way except Jesus. There is no other way for you to get to heaven. There is no other way for you to experience paradise without Jesus. There's no way that you can go there. But Jesus knows your name. And he knows the people's names that you care about the most. And he knows who you're going to come in contact with. I do this a lot. I don't do it every day. I pray, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today. But I do know that you know. Use me to help others see you. The love and the concern that Jesus had for his disciples, they could see it visibly. We can read about it in the Gospels. It's the same concern that we ought to have for people out there in this world. Now, I'm not saying you have to let people use you. There's a line. But you've got to pray and you've got to allow God to help you sort that out. When people come to the church, there's people that we call upon to help us make the decisions. The resurrection the Lord performed during his earthly ministry demonstrated the power he will one day use to resurrect all people. Think about that for a minute. Every resurrection you read about in the Gospels, it's the same power that he's going to use to resurrect believers in the day of judgment. In John 5:28 and 29, Jesus said, an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, Christ's voice, and will come forth, those who did good deeds to resurrection of life and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. The bodies of believers will be raised, reunited with their spirits, and live forever in heaven. The bodies of unbelievers will be reunited with their spirits to experience everlasting punishment in hell. Believers need not fear death because they have put their faith in the one who conquered it. My question for you today is, Keith comes and Miss Kathy, have you put your faith in Jesus? Do you think you're too far gone? Do you have people that you think is too far gone? Don't let Satan lie to you. Because it's not without hope. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one. If we take him to Jesus, if we fall down at his feet and we pray, guys, there's hope in Jesus' name. There will always be hope in Jesus' name. But ultimately, God never, ever removes free will. He allows each one of us to choose. And sometimes we just need to be the one bringing Jesus to those people. Or we need to be the one that's reaching out and touching the hem of His garment, grasping hold of it and holding it for just a second. But it's up to you to do that. I can't do it for you. Pastor David can't do it for you. We can encourage you from here. And we can help you and counsel you and do those things. And you could get involved in a life group and be encouraged through the life groups. You could minister to other people through Awana. But let me tell you something. It's your choice how you handle the situation. Individual here. Father, maybe they need to bring somebody to Christ, as Jairus was trying to take Christ to his daughter because she couldn't come to him. Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to go and just plead with them to come and ask them to help. And Father, or maybe we're like the woman with the issue of blood, Father, that just needs to hope once again. And Father, see the opportunity in you. Father, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. And this woman only had one hope left. And Father, she done things that was against their laws, Father God, to get that accomplished. But yet, Lord, it worked out because she had faith in you. And Father, I thank you for the term of endearment that you gave to that woman. And Father, how you think of each one of us in that way. Father, whether we're a daughter or whether we're a son, you died on the cross for us. And Father, I pray that we would bring our burdens and our cares before you this day, as you have commanded us to. In Jesus' name, amen.